Okay, so it's not that I was going to talk about, but I mean, people are interested in talking about this. So I can say something about the non-minimal form of an entire room.
I think first you should say what you were planning to say, and then we get the back from there.
Well, I mean, there are things related to string field theory, but those people aren't here, so...
Maybe you should be late, or still they come. Maybe they will come.
Maybe.
Maybe it's still...
wet and wet.
So we have lambda L. So it's natural to introduce a lambda bar. So if you want to do integrations, it doesn't make too much sense to do holomorphic integration. So the question is, where do the lambda bars come from? So in this non-minimal approach, they're essentially put in by hand to regularize 0 over 0. So how do you put them in by hand? You have to add the non-minimal field.
So are you unhappy with the way I introduced them? Do you think it's different? That's what I can say. Because yesterday they appeared in the talk, right? And they were introduced automatically. Are you unhappy with that?
I think there are many ways to introduce it. The final answer is the same. I'm not unhappy. I don't care where they come from. You asked me if I care where they come from.
I mean, I explained where they come from. So why do you need another explanation?
I think you can have many explanations, I think. I mean, I don't think there's just one explanation where they come from. So actually, another way to get them, which may be related to what you said, is you start with... So this is an approach of Witten, which is also related to some things that Nikita has done. So we start with 2 comma 0.
With 0 comma 2.
And you introduce non-minimal fields to handle the chiral bosons here. So these are the same non-minimal fields that appear here. So there are different ways to get there. For me, the important thing is that you have a way through the functional integration. So these are the lambda bars. I mean, for me, BRC invariance is the whole story. I don't care where it comes from, but if the theory is BRC invariant, then I trust it. If it's not, then I don't trust it. So you want to introduce in a way that preserves BRC invariance.
Well, in a way, they were forced by the gate from the zero amount gauge invariances. In a way, I discussed them.
But Kostas, I don't want to say what you did was wrong, but it was after the fact. I mean, it's easy to get there after the fact, but I think first you have to know what to put in. I think after you know what the answer is, there are always going to be different ways to get there. So, I mean, I think... I don't think the justification of them is that important. I think what's important is if they do the right thing or not.
Well, is there some way to generalize Kostas' approach? Because he had a world sheet metric, so that looked sort of good, except it was a little bit too trivial somehow, because it had this extra gauge invariance, you could just get rid of the whole thing. And there's some way to sort of weaken that invariance so that somehow the gauge parameters are turned into the usual coordinate transformations, and then the gauge invariance for the fermionic partner from the metric would turn into some new gauge invariance corresponding to kappa symmetry, maybe in some way. And that would be kind of interesting.
Well, I guess the place I want to go is that it's a useful tool for computing BRST invariant expressions. I think as a physicist, that's all you need. I mean, if you want to get some mathematical derivation of where they came from, okay, but how does it help? So I think the people here probably already know how to use them, but the idea is that we have to introduce them together with their supervisors, and it's related to this 0.2 model that I think was first.
Well, it's probably not Wheaton. There's some Russian people who did this first, right? Frank or one of them? Malikov or something like that?
No, it's just Shachman, Weintraub, and Malikov. They okay. studied just current beta gamma systems.
Okay.
Magical aspects of it.
Okay, so I think historically that's where they came from.
For me, it's an important twist that your guys are all right moving.
Yeah, okay.
But, okay, but the idea is that you add this non-minimal set of variables which help you
to get rid of zero over zeros. That's what non-minimal variables are there for.
Okay, so in the case that in flat background, the way you introduce them is you have so you want to regularize the integration over the pages and lambdas using this interesting method. And the integration over the R is L and D. Allows you to reduce the 16-page integrals into 5-page. Okay, so then you get back to the original measure factor that was used in the GPS set. And after doing this integral here, you get an expression which is continuous. Which is independent of the non-minimal field, and after doing the integration, you just get the BSC invariant expression you want. Okay, so this is for tree entropy. Okay, so you have to question how to extend to loops, and then you have to introduce additional terms in your gauge fixing factor. So how many additional terms do you have to add? Depends on two things, so this is related to processes question. So if you only need to get rid of zero modes, then you have to introduce just the zero modes for the so let me write it in this form, and you have to introduce Q is so you want to introduce W alpha so this will also give you terms like W bar or 50. So ignoring subtleties related to the fact that this is not gauge invariant, this allows you to integrate over the zero to double. Now suppose you have more poles. So suppose you have poles which go like 1 over lambda and bar, some power 11 plus 1, say.
Less than 11.
So what that means is that you have to introduce the regulators here which carry not just the zero mode dependence of the W, but the non-zero mode dependence of the W. So this is related to changing the so if I think of the beta gamma language, it's related to putting in beta beta
bar terms in Lagrangian so that the gammas are no longer chiral.
When they're not chiral, you don't have problems.
Type of terms problematic anyway because you have this homotopy operator?
Yes, so these are dangerous. So the problem with these is related
to the problem with this homotopy operator.
So
So, but do you want to make them legitimate? I mean, because the homotopy.
No, so if you add, the problem is because of this, because these lambdas are holomorphic. So the problem is that if this thing here, you write, I think you know the problem. So fewer. This is equal to 1. So if you expand this out, you get terms like R. Theta to the, I guess, and so this type of operator will necessarily have holes in this order. So you should not allow
operators of this type.
But if you add this type of term into the regulator, what it does is it smears out this pole.
So that the lambda and lambda bars don't have zeros at the same point.
So, so how do you do that? Well, when you do the functional integral over the
betas,
what that's going to do is going to shift
the lambdas.
So you can write this, if you want, you can write this as beta c plus c. And I integrate over x. That gives me this beta, beta bar term.
And now this is, can just be interpreted as shifting lambda in
and lambda bar after doing the beta bar integration. So you've shifted the pole from lambda equals 0 to lambda equals minus f.
So it doesn't seem to help, but if the x have z dependence,
then you're going to shift these poles
in different places, depending on.
So they can't be, when I wrote this, they have to start out in different locations. So this would be a z1, this would be a z2.
Okay. You're not allowed to have poles of order 11 if all of these lambdas are at the same point on the worksheet. But if they're distributed at different points on the worksheet, then you can regularize in this way.
Okay, so doing these computations is a mess because
you have to.
I wasn't careful with the gauge invariance of the betas.
So
there are many subtleties with this, and I don't claim that all these subtleties have been understood. But I think the method. If this method doesn't work, I don't think any method will work. So that's the. I don't see any obvious
problems with this method. I don't see any obvious reasons why this method is not going to work.
Well, what's the origin of the F bar?
This is a regulator.
It's just a way to rewrite it using minus beta. These are also F bar term.
Yeah.
So, okay, I can put the F bar term. So you do this in a BRST invariant way. In the same way as you do this in a BRST invariant way.
I mean, you said the part modifies puts beta bars. It's really not, it's not the same system. It looks to me a bit.
It's a cube of information.
Yeah. So you have to add fermionic partners in here.
How do you use that shifts lambda? So the idea is that if you have a similar looking expression, lambda 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 bar, you're actually going to keep current operators. You're smearing the same way. So this is just Laplacian. So you just act on the exponential Laplacian on the spinner space.
But it's not trivial that this is BRST exactly.
Laplacian is, I mean, Laplacian dressed with fermionic corrections.
It's not obvious it's BRST exact, but I have written it with the super partners. If I did write it with the super partners, then it would be obvious.
In the same way as this one. So when you write this out, you get lambda on the bar of
WW bar.
This WW bar is the same as this.
I just changed the key denotation of beta beta bar. W is the same as beta.
Fermionic partners, so you have R's and S's.
The momentum for lambda bar is Q exact. So this is
The
it looks funny because if you integrate out f and then you can integrate out beta, then you just get a gamma bar dd bar gamma. So gamma and gamma bar look like they're conformal weight zero or something. And this Lagrangian you wrote down here with the f terms.
Yeah.
You can integrate out f, then you can integrate out beta, and then you just get gamma bar dd bar gamma.
So yeah, something in curl.
So.
That's the point. So once it's a non-chiral, once you have a non...
For us, with both gamma and gamma bar, chiral.
Yeah, you're right. So... They both size. They both d bar.
Oh, so it's actually d bar squared.
No, it's not a conformal operator, because you mentioned for zero. But it's only for zero modes, so it's not as bad.
Why momentum for lambda bar is QXF?
Okay.
The momentum for lambda bar is QXF, the conjugate?
Yes, it's Q of the moment of R.
So W bar predicted this.
I mean, part of the fact that it's a non-minimal pair, right?
So there are other terms here involving the fermion, just like there are other terms here. So they have them involving S and U, which are necessary in order to make it BRST exact.
G is the constraint?
G is the same G as here. So it's essentially the same terms, because now you allow this to depend on non-zero mode. So if I had used the same language, it wouldn't be clear, but it's supposed to be.
So what's the obstruction in pushing this to the bitter end and have a final expression of each other?
Well, doing this correlation function isn't that. So there are two questions that I didn't mention. So this is not gauge rank the way I wrote it. We need to use N and not W. And the other thing is that you have to function each way over these apps. If you look at my paper with Nikita, it gets messy in the end. I mean,
well, I agree, sure.
I'm not saying this is there might be some way to simplify this, but I think the basic idea is, this is the basic idea. I mean, you want to somehow add something which depends on non-zero mode, which is going to regularize these poles. It's important that the poles are not all at the same place on the world sheet, otherwise the problem that Michael mentioned is, will kill you. If you have different places on the world sheet, then you can regularize. Now, the B goes, does involve poles, but not order 11. If it did, you'd be dead. So that's the basic idea. Now, everything is in the details, of course. Until you compute the three-loop amplitude, you're not going to convince anybody that it works. But at least this is the argument that it should be possible. Much more details?
Well, I mean, I would have liked to see the other details, but maybe it's not for the reason.
Yeah. So details are a mess, and that's why.
Well, I know it's a mess. The issue is to point out where are the subtleties and where.
Okay, so the subtleties are in defining this in a gauge invariant way. And of course, in doing the correlation functions. So,
correlation functions are going to have
non-zero mode dependence. Everything is going to be only BRST invariant up to surface term. So, it's going to be more complicated, but life is complicated. I mean, three-loop amplitudes are complicated. Okay, so let me go a little bit in a different direction. Okay. So, I mean, I'm happy to keep on this topic if you want more. So I told you where the subtleties are.
No, you look at this level, I can see them from the actual paper, right? So. The issue is whether I want to go beyond what you actually wrote in the paper, that you tell us.
No, something. We haven't done any work beyond what's in the paper.
Or can I clarify what it is written in the paper?
If you have a question about what's in the paper, I can clarify. I can do it talk on the paper, but I don't think it's that. I am not happy with the final stage of the paper. It's complicated in the end. So, I'm hopeful that you can simplify it, but I haven't done it yet. I just wanted to address your question about your doubts that there might be some fundamental obstacle.
I mean, for me, yeah, as you say, you know, the devil is in the details. So before the details are settled, I'm not saying this is not plausible. It is.
There may be minor obstacles, but I don't see any fundamental obstacles.
At the same time, it's been how many years since the paper, right? It hasn't been used or developed further.
Francis, what's your point? Are the other people working on it, or are the other people have tried and failed, or what's your point?
So is there any reason why there hasn't been any problem?
How many people have worked on
people are working
How many people have worked on three little grants with you?
In the last 20 years.
So did you try to work out the three little grants with you?
Well, I tried something. I mean, I tried to... certainly, four quantum computers are supposed to be special and easy.
But they depend on the non-zero mode. It's not as easy as two.
Yeah, okay, well...
Maybe extracting the low energy limit might be easier. If that's what you're suggesting.
Yes, and what I was trying to show is to extend this... I was not trying to compute the full quantum computing, but you know, there is this relation between the transfer. Okay, so you have this argument...
That wouldn't satisfy Kostic. He doesn't care about the low energy limit. He wants the full expression. This is irrelevant to what
I understand. I understand. Okay, but anyway, I mean, people are trying. Okay.
I don't think anybody is computing it. I don't know anybody. I know some people that looked at measure factors in NSR, but that's completely unrelated to me. Okay, so I guess, so one thing I think. It's something about the recent paper with Warren. So there's a generalization of this procedure to RNS. So if you think of RNS minimal as, that's even another thing. In some sense, it's related to the pure spinner minimal, in the sense that you have delta functions of the So these are the usual beta gamma ghosts. Of course, these carry indices, Lorentz indices, these don't. So there's a non-minimal version of pure spinner, of course, this, which allows you to write down a stream field reaction that only makes sense in the sense that this n is the same n as here. So this is just three amplitudes. So this is invertible if you just change the sign here. So the equation of motion is really what you want, is just q pi plus. Multiplied by n, but because it's invertible, is no question. Okay, so if you do this for number Schwartz, you start out, so this was in Michael's talk last week, you start out with this equation of motion. And the idea is that this yy bar can also be written in the form of course the n will be different. So the non-minimal fields I'm going to introduce or which you introduce are different.
Can you remind me
what
this is
y
bar?
Yeah.
The y bar.
So y is one way to write it is cdu minus 2 phi. Okay. Another way to write it is c delta gamma into gamma work. So gamma is a to e to the 5
1 over gamma C e to the minus 5, and delta gamma C e to the minus.
Wasn't y not
invertible? Okay, so y is not invertible because, for example, if you hit it with
c, you get 0. Why can you write it like this?
If you rewrite it to n, it means that you can...
Well, I haven't told you what n is yet.
Yeah, but the width is a weight bar. It's just the holomorphic.
Holomorphic version.
Okay, so to get n, this is in the recent paper with Warren, you introduce some non-minimal variables. So instead of lambda bar and r, I'll call u and r. So now we can get scalars on the world again. So this is fermions, this is bosons. And you define, so you modify the BST operator. So let's say the Klein distributes is called V and S. So Q is 2R and S plus, so in analogy with this, we'll call it VR. And now we're going to define N as exponential initial Q with C. So what you get here is...
What did you add? R? Is this RR?
R, sorry. VR.
VR.
V?
That's the... Mm-hmm.
What's the conformal way to be used?
So this will be defined to have conformal weight minus the half, and this of course will be conformal minus one. So unlike in this case where it's conformal weight zero, in this case it's conformal weight minus c half. So it's a little bit strange, but it turns out to do what you want. It's related to the fact that u is going to play the role of gamma bar. So gamma here. Down here has the form of minus a half instead of
zero. So that's why you should have form weight minus a half.
Okay, so this, so why is this related to this y? So if you just do this out, you get a term which is u gamma squared coming from. So Q has a term, E gamma squared. When you commute that with the C, you get the gamma squared, E gamma squared. And then from this, you get a C. So when you integrate over U, the subject here, you'll get E, so because of this exponential dependence, you'll get just delta, let's say go equal 1, so you just get delta gamma squared. And this here is delta gamma over absolute value. So we want to get y bar. So we just have to add to this the non-homomorphic, I mean the anti-homomorphic part. So that's C bar, U bar here. And now I'm going to integrate over U and U bar. There you go. And that's just the same result of gamma. So this is what we call here the loose part here. So now you also integrate over R over the fermion carbon, then you pick up the fact of CC dot just from these two. So this gives you the Y1.
So the advantage of using this is, of course, this is invertible. The disadvantage is that if you use this, the strength field now 5 has to depend on the usual RMS variable, so that's 5 and BC to gamma. But it also has to be allowed to depend on the other one. So why is that? It's just because when you do the functional integral, you just function integrating over all the worldsheet fields in one branch. So we have to have conform weight minus a half in order that it has 2 zero modes. And so when you do the integral, you recover the original half. Okay, so the action now is going to be essentially the same as in the string form, that you have an n 5 cubed, 5 plus 5 cubed, but these 5s now depend on the RMS variables and these non-minimum variables. And this n is now defined as in here. So this has an infinite number of string fields. If you try to write them in terms of string fields which are independent of the non-minimum variables. So it's more complicated, but at least the equation of motion of this is just what you want. So you just get n 5 plus 5 squared equals 0, which of course implies 2 squared.
So the extra fields are the quartet, and so, right, the appears to quartet, this extra field. So the equation of motion, that should be the same.
So on shell, it describes the same physics, but off shell, we have many more fields. And so you can think of this just a regularization of the original action. In the same way as it's in the spin-form thing, this is a regularization of the action with the minimum. So,
with these new variables, you have some sort of a new notion of picture, right? So would it be in the string field theory like a gauge symmetry which will remove this new picture?
So everything, so the picture in the old language, so everything is in a zero picture. There's no polarization of the field. But now you have dependence on these.
Yeah, and you can define picture which is related to them, right?
Yeah. So you can define charge. Let's not call it picture. Okay. So you can define non-minimal charge. So on shell, you can gauge away all the non-minimal charge, but off shell, it's there.
Yeah, so in the string field, these various copies with different charges will be related by gauge transformation, or?
Well, the BS be trivial, or not, or I'm not sure what you asked.
Actually, space-time has increased, right?
If you want to think of these as space-time variables, you can, but I mean, it's at the same level as these in the first case.
Yeah, but they have different conformal
weights. So. Yeah, okay, so they have different, I mean, it's at the same level in the sense that on shell, nothing depends on them. So, I think the proper name is non-minimal variable. I don't know if Warren knows another name for it, but it's things that you add, but they don't affect the cohomology. They're not ghosts, I mean, in the sense you're regularizing 0/0, you're not, okay. Maybe it's at the same level.
The other name is topological.
Yeah, okay.
If you think about what you've done in terms of the target space-time interpretation, it's not that you added fields in space-time, you increased the space-time.
If you want to think of these, well, they do look kind of like harmonic variables. So, because some of them are bosonic. Maybe that's why you want to call them space-time.
Are they bosonic?
Yeah.
So you add the logical piece to the space-time.
Yeah.
So the original space-time is kind of a brain sitting in the standard one.
Yeah.
And what you want to say is that the physics is sort of localized on the brain.
Yeah.
Actually, also in topological gravity, you have a similar situation because the y in topological gravity is just c d gamma, delta gamma. Okay, mm-hmm. So there is no one of the gamma there. So you can.
In topological gravity, the gamma is gamma squared.
Yeah, right. I mean, okay, but you have this called picture puncture or something like that.
So this is a puncture operator.
Right, and then actually you can do the same game exactly.
So maybe it's other gamma.
There you also know that there are string field theory. I mean, the Kodaira-Spencer theory. And
okay, so it certainly sounds like it's.
Yeah, you can do the same game exactly. Actually, it is a little more like the diffuse spinor case because they're really, you have a theta lambda and lambda bar exactly the same type, and they actually are spin zero, spin one fields.
So there might be something deep in the sense that actually, if you try to map RNS to a spinor, It's natural to associate gamma squared with being related to something like, in one of my pedagogical lectures, I introduced this additional gamma field.
So this additional green. Called phi, actually, because it's that of the phi field in subsummate engaged theories, which is the same. It's a ghost for the fermionic symmetry.
Right.
So if you introduce the electric and the gravity, the way it costs. I don't know why she didn't write the ghost, but that comes with seven ghosts. So she goes for the.
I did write the ghost, right? I didn't put them in the sponge.
Okay. So, have a ghost for the bosonic diffeomorphism of bullshit, and then you have corresponding fermionic transformations, which shift the gravity signal. The corresponding ghost is.
Okay, so I think I agree with what you're saying. All I wanted to say is. These also play a role. No, in the non-minimal formalism, I mean, in the pure spinner formalism that I talked about, I don't remember the first or second lecture I gave, I added this gamma set. And this gamma is simply gamma squared here. So it sounds related to what Pierre said. Okay, so that's what I have to say about it. So there's some problems with this also. Okay, gauge fixing with this is going to be complicated for the same reason gauge fixing with this acting is complicated. It's just because the D goes doesn't commute with the regulator. So it's not perfect, but okay. It does. It's a little bit better than the original cubic app. So. Okay, so that's what I have to say about that. Any questions? Okay, so, now I want to switch topics a little bit. So I want to go to AVS5 from this part, where it turns out that you don't need non-minimal fields. So I want to say why you don't. So all of the subtleties or complaints across it seem to go away in AVS5. So of course, AVS5 from this part is more complicated than the flat background because the action is not quadratic. But there's some things that are simpler. So, before saying what's simpler, let me just point out that it would be natural to try to identify this with just the left moving. So this is the left moving ghost, you call this the right moving ghost. So, in principle, there's nothing stopping you from saying the complex conjugate is the left moving fist and is the right moving fist. So why don't you do that in a flat background? So suppose you try to construct an invariant out of, let's say, would be type 2A. So for type 2A, I can contract the left and right moving to a spinner in this way. And suppose you want to say that this is the complex conjugate of lambda. So if lambda is not completely vanishing, then this thing, you would say, is non-zero. So this is something that is non-negative. Now, it turns out in the flat background, this object is in the cohomology. I mean, it's not in the cohomology. So Q, this can be written as Q of theta alpha and phi alpha. So, so this is now, we're back to minimum. So we have lambda alpha and then bar alpha, and then we have neutral x, theta alpha, theta. So these are the space-time variables, I'm in type 2. Let's say, to be specific, let's say I'm in type 2A. So then alpha and alpha has have opposite chirality. So I can write this one down in there. And these are the usual pure spinners.
Is it possible to complex conjugate of the theta bar alpha, lambda alpha, and the cube?
So I didn't write down Q there.
Well, Q is the sum.
So Q is lambda alpha DL. That's Q.
I meant it in the bottom line where you have Q of.
So Q doesn't. So the question was why doesn't Q hit the lambda bar? Well, it doesn't because there's no more non-minimal variable. So this is just lambda alpha, lambda alpha. Q commutes with lambda.
The bar is lambda right, I guess.
Yeah.
Is it just a confusion, or I don't know that, or you on purpose use lambda bar for two different things? Because previously.
So previously I had to, because I had the non-minimal variables, which were the complex conjugates of lambda.
Yes.
And I had the left and right movements. So I had lambda alpha, lambda right alpha. And then you have the right movement, lambda hat, alpha hat.
Yes.
And the bar hat, alpha hat.
Yes.
Previously, I had to do this.
Yeah.
Now I'm saying, let's suppose I don't do it.
But that lambda bar on the left, you insist it's not lambda hat, it's rather lambda bar.
No. Sorry?
On the left part of the blackboard. Your lambda bar is indeed lambda bar, not lambda hat.
On
the
right. On this side of the blackboard, there is no lambda. There's only two, lambda and lambda bar.
Let us replace lambda bar with lambda hat on the left hand side.
The hat instead of a bar.
Yes.
Okay. What did you say? They're equal. Is that okay?
I don't know if it would satisfy. Now you have. Okay, and flat back on, because this thing is in the cohomology, is not in the cohomology, so it's PRST trivial, saying that something is non-vanishing would naively allow you to invert it. So saying that something is non-vanishing would allow you to write things like, here's the, so if I don't write any indices, it means M0 is contracted. So if I allow this type of statement that this is non-zero, then naively this would be allowed. Or more specifically, this would be allowed. This would be an allowed state. But as we see, Q of this statement equals 1. So in the flat background, it doesn't make sense to try to define this thing to be non-vanishing. Now, why would you want to do something like this?
Well, the answer is simplistic. You don't add the check operator to Q. So you don't have to
this is. There's nothing else in Q.
Yeah, but so, I don't know what it is, the so-called check operator to that thing. And
that's it.
Q,
that's Q. It doesn't work because of this problem. In a flat background. But that I'll argue that it does work in an ABS background. Is that okay?
Yeah.
By the check operator, you meant the thing R alpha delta.
Yes,
there's
a difference
in delta?
Or? Yeah, yes. All right.
I don't do. So if I had, so if I could do this, then it would be trivial to do these kinds of integrations. Because this kind of integration, if I say that lambda lambda hat is non-zero, then I can reduce it to just an integration over the projective space. So here lambda takes the value of the natural channel being 5. And there's no divergences. And this is just a projection. So this would be something that would be natural to do, but it's not possible in a flat background just because this operator here is not in the cohomology. It doesn't make sense to say that it's non-vanishing. Because if it made sense to say it was non-vanishing, it would trivialize the cohomology. But now what I'll argue is that in an ABS background, it does make sense to do that.
Wait, in Euclidean space, suppose you work in Euclidean space.
Yeah, I mean, I am more or less working in Euclidean
space. Isn't that, you should identify lambda hat as complex conjugate of lambda.
That would be the natural thing to do, but you can't. That's my point in flat background. Because if you did, okay, then this would trivialize the cohomology.
Suppose that I defined my theory saying that lambda hat is complex conjugate to lambda at the beginning.
Then you will run into problems. You won't be able to define functional integration. You'll get stuck. You can't do it. I mean, it's the non-minimal variable which is the complex conjugate in the flat background.
Also, if I write in path integral for action, I request specifically that lambda hat is complex conjugate to lambda, then I'm dead.
Well, it's not you're dead, it's that things don't work as you want. And you do, so you'll have, if you use non-minimal variables, you have bars and you have padding. And you have exponentials, but the exponentials will be lambda lambda bar and not lambda lambda half. So if you treat lambda half as the complex conjugate to lambda, this will not regularize the function integral. You're forced to identify lambda bar with the complex conjugate. Okay.
And there is a similar problem for type B.
Yes. In flat background. Okay, so now I want to argue that in ABS there's no problem. The first thing to show is that this object here, so let me say what it is, and I'll agree with something. So this is discussed in my most recent paper in
December.
So,
in type 2B, you can't?
Yeah, how do you?
Not in a Lorentz invariant way.
Oh.
So in ABS 5 times S5, of course, you have this object, which can be constructed. So let me. It's short and one way this is one lambda. So of course in flat background, type 2B, this would take Lorentz covariance. So let me know. So if we're in ABS 5 times S5, or we just demand you have SO4 1 times SO5 1.
But
you
show that the cohomology is trivial for type 2B, would you use that
operator? No. Okay, so let me show it's trivial type 2B. So type 2B, let's suppose you do it again. Okay, so the behavior gamma is 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, lambda half, over lambda lambda half. This is type 2B, this is also 4. There's nothing you can do in a flat background if you use a cohomology.
So you'll see clearly why in a second.
So the first point is that this is in the cohomology
of ABS 5 times S5.
Okay, so how do you show that? So if you take Lagrangian ABS 5 times S5, as Luca mentioned, you can write just in terms of the J's. So the J's are these C minus 1 and G, which are invariant under global ESCPC. So some combinations of the J's, and then you have to add some terms involving the ghosts, plus some term coupling the left and right moving ghosts. Okay. So this is the action in the ABS 5 times S5 background. And you can ask, what's the unintegrated vertex operator associated with the Lagrangian? So if I hit Q on Q left and Q right on the Lagrangian, in general, it doesn't give you zero, it gives you a term which is dB power function. So more precisely, you can do it. Okay, so first you take Q of L, so Q is equal to Q left plus Q right. Now you know this is a surface term, so it has to be written as d of f plus d bar of f bar. And now if I do q again, it's
since Q squared is L zero, you know that QF must be equal to D bar of V, and QF bar is equal to minus D of V for the same D. So this is just a standard cohomology argument. The same procedure, this V is the same V. And this V, if Lagrangian is not BRC trivial, this V is in the cohomology. Now, if you do this for this Lagrangian, you find that V is just equal to this lambda. So it takes three lines to show. In a second, show it. An obvious question is, suppose you did this in a flat background, what would you get? If you did it in a flat background, okay, so this is the usual action. You find that V is equal to lambda gamma and theta, lambda half gamma. So, it's not even space-time supersymmetric. It involves theta c. The reason why it's not space-time supersymmetric is because the Lagrangian is not space-time supersymmetric. If you do space-time supersymmetric transformation of the Lagrangian in a flat background, it changes by its own derivative. Whereas the ADS background, it's manifestly PSU2-4 invariant. So that's the first simplification, that this is PSU2-4 invariant. This is not case. Of course, if you do a space-time supersymmetric transformation on this operator, it gives you something BRC trivial. So supersymmetric up to something BRC trivial. But this is, of course, invariant without having something BRC.
So if let is vertex operator for trace of symmetric or something.
So it's zero momentum, this is a physical. And this is, of course, the vertex operator for the radius.
Sorry, is it related to dilaton?
Is it really dilaton? So there are two scalars. At zero momentum, there are two scalars you can construct in the cohomology. Mm-hmm. One is called the dilaton, one is called the base of the metric at zero momentum. This is one of them.
What's the other one?
The dilaton.
Okay.
It couples to the two-dimensional curvature. So it couples to ghosts in the... If you want the unintegrated vertex operator, it would involve the GC ghosts in... In this form, I don't have a nice way of writing. Okay, so... But because this is in the cohomology of ADS, now we don't have this problem. So in ADS, it means it's okay. It requires the lambda half is long band. So because it's not in the cohomology, it's not going to trivialize the cohomology. So that opens up a new game, because now you can add, for example, other terms to Lagrangian which involve 1 over lambda hat. Also, this means, so this immediately means that I can functionally integrate doing exactly what I wanted. So I integrate over the, let's say, for tree amplitudes. So I have my integration over all the betas and theta hats, of course, over the 10 axes. So in a flat background, I need to regularize this using n. Because this would give me infinities if I didn't regularize it. In ADS, because I can restrict this to be non-zero, I can restrict this functional integration to be just an integration over 10 of the lambda. So this would be like this, lambda half. Let's say it's equal to capital n. So this is some constant. So in principle, you have to integrate over that constant. But suppose we don't integrate over it. Because this is BRST invariant, if I fix it to be a certain value, this is still going to give me a BRST invariant expression.
So of course, it's not possible to do that in a flat background because this is not in the core model. But in this case, it is. So this just becomes some trivial integration over the SO10 over U5 closed. And this is just the usual integration over the full superspace. Okay, there's also a factor of the, to get something which is reparamerization grant, I mean, which is density, you need to introduce a factor of the super VR line, which is non-branching UDS. So if I have some function of x, and I'm asked to compute the tree amplitude, so this f is just going to be, for example, for three super gravity operators, it's going to be this cube. So this describes on ADSI times SI, where in fact in any supergravity background, you can describe supergravity fields by a superfield of this type. So to compute the three-point amplitude, you just plug this in here and do the integrations over the thetas and lambdas. So it's much simpler, at least the superspace integration is much simpler than in a flat background. So that's related also to the fact that the Lagrangian is PSU2 foreign grant. So this expression, of course, is manifestly PSU2 foreign grant. Okay, so this is something new about the ADS that I don't think we've noticed before. Yes?
Are still SO10 module 5, even if SO10 is not the geometry?
Yeah, so the lambda is always defined in any background. You ask them why it's defined like this in any background?
Yeah, even if you don't have a certain.
Well, it's in order to get the cohomology to work. So, I mean.
It's interesting that in ADS there are different kinds of pure spinners, because if you look at it as the orbit of SO5 cross SO5, then there are many different orbits, unlike in flat space.
Yeah, so I guess, I mean, the way I think about it is this is valid in any background.
Yeah. Just specification to ADS.
Yeah. So of course you could try to change the form and say there's something special that only works in ADS, but okay, I haven't tried that. Well, it wouldn't be this string theory, maybe. So at least in what I do, the pure spinners always are the same rules in any background. Okay, so that's the measure factor. So now there's something else you can do, which you can also only do in ABS, which is you can construct a Lagrangian which is BRC trivial, but which has the same stress tensor as this solution. So this is something also that only works in ABS, and it's because you have, in order to construct it, you have to allow terms which have inverse powers of this. Okay, so what are the terms I'm going to allow? So suppose you consider this object here. So so this has two vector indices, so A and B are vector indices. So let me call this BJP. Thank you. So this object has the property that HAB plus HBA and the drive is equal to something like 2AB. So what it does is, because lambda is a pure spinner, lambda bar is a complex conjugate, what it does is it vanishes if you choose. So there are only 5 A's which give you something non-vanishing here. So if you choose any pure spinner, so for example, lambda plus, this is the only non-vanishing component of lambda alpha. Then you find that lambda gamma A is equal to 0 unless, okay, so A just breaks the SO10 down to U5. So you get 1 plus I2, 3 plus I4. So this is just a statement that lambda chooses a U5 out of the SO10. So what this tensor does is it breaks 8AB into something which is no longer symmetric in A and B, and it vanishes. Okay, so it's like a project. So I'm not saying it in a simple way, but it allows you to write a Wessimino term for the vector indices, because now this is not, this object here is not symmetric if you change A and B.
You realize that you cannot, by SO5 versus SO5 rotations, choose lambda in that form.
Choose lambda in this form?
Yeah.
Yeah, but
it's not needed.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, this is an example of a pure spinner. There are other examples of pure spinners.
It's always projector on whatever.
So any choice of pure spinner, it selects out a U5 subgroup of the SO10. So this is something that tells you how I'm going to break the SO10 down to U5. 8AB is, of course, SO10 invariant.
How? What HAB has to do this? SO10 over U5.
HAB, of course, is a function of lambda.
Yes.
Lambda selects the U5 out of SO10. So this tensor, this is a tensor that if I... I'm not saying it in the right way, but...
So the Keller form?
Yeah, that's right. So it chooses a complex structure in the SO10. So I think the way you said it is right. So it's a Keller form.
It's a little weird, however, that it is not manifestly invariant under SO10, because...
No, it shouldn't be. It should just be invariant under U5.
No, because the pure spinner chooses a complex structure and correspondingly Keller structure in a way which is kind of equivariant under SO10. While your HAB is only equivariant under SO5. SO5 versus SO5.
The key process is to write it with gamma AB and eta AB.
Say it again.
Can you process the numerator since the gammas are conducted?
So I can pull this through, and it depends if B is in the 0, 1, 2, 3, 4 direction or in the 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 direction.
I want to get rid of gamma 5. And
yeah, well, it seems to me.
But then,
so gamma AB, the under symmetric.
It's not just gamma AB. It's not lambda gamma A, gamma B.
Gamma 5. Certainly, gamma A, lambda gamma A.
Yeah, okay, so let me say how you can make it simple. Okay. So let's say gamma 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, lambda half, I call it lambda bar. This is something with a down in this. Okay, so now I'm going to make it a little happy. Okay, so I can write this as, now I can do it. Okay, so now it's okay?
Okay,
so now I'm going to use this HAB to construct my Lagrangian. So, of course, this Lagrangian here, the J boson indices are contracted with the eta. And the fermionic indices
But it would seem you only need that, let's say, lambda, gamma, a, b, lambda bar, without the division by lambda, lambda bar. That's already under symmetric. So why you cannot use that?
Well, that would have ghost number 2. My Lagrangian should have ghost number 0.
Ah, I see.
And I also don't use the fact that the symmetric part is just a to a, b.
Okay, but you could have used a, b, why not use the symmetric part?
Yeah, so the only thing you need is the anti-symmetric part.
The ghost number.
Yeah, the ghost number. So there's a fermionic term here, which is... So it's like 3/4 plus 1/4. So this is the original idea. Now I want to write them a Lagrangian which has the same stress tensor, but it involves this thing. Instead of 8, I'm going to use the H. And it will only involve a certain combination of the fermion. But it has the same close dependence as before. So this Lagrangian, I shouldn't call it. It's easy to show that this has the same stress tensor as this, just because the symmetric part of HAB is the same as HAB, and the symmetric part of this is the same as symmetric. Now, this is turns out to be topological, so I can write this as Q. So the claim is that, of course, the ADS Lagrangian is proportional to the radius. And if the radius goes to 0, this Lagrangian goes to 0. But of course, we would like to have an action which describes the theory at 0 radius. So the idea is that using this sensor HAB, now you can smoothly take the radius to 0 by defining the Lagrangian. So this Lagrangian here is supposed to describe the theory of 0 radius. So this is something that you can only do in ADS. You could try to do this also in a flat background. So formally, you could also write down an expression like this in flat background. So you use the same H, but now these are just the will just be built out of the pi. So these are just usual DL to D bar DL. So plus the ghost speed. So it's easy to show that this Lagrangian is also BRC true. The difference of this Lagrangian and the original flat Lagrangian is that this is now has an antisymmetric. So there's a Wessimino piece here. And of course, there's also a Wessimino piece in the flat Lagrangian coming from the fermions that I didn't put in here. So the non-topological one would be with an A to here and with a Wessimino term here. Okay, so formally you could do the same in a flat background, but in a flat background, H is not well-defined. So, which I think is related to the fact that if you try to take alpha prime going to infinity, which would be the analog of R going to zero in your ADS, you get something which doesn't make sense. Okay, so that's what I have to say about the topological variable.
So hopefully this topological limit will be useful for understanding the ADS at small radius.
So the R squared Lagrangian ADS that you wrote, so it supposedly starts with the topological action. So the radius is in the cohomology of the topological action.
The radius is in the cohomology.
Lambda lambda hat is in the cohomology of the topological action.
Yes.
Right. And then now you're adding it to the Lagrangian. So you're breaking the topological string.
This is topological. Yeah. This is in the cohomology of the topological. Yeah.
Is it like because it's not a marginal operator?
It is a marginal operator.
It's exactly marginal.
Yes.
Right.
So it preserves BRST invariance, but now it's no longer topological.
So what's the analogous statement in usual topological string, like on the conic?
Which topological string?
Like on the conic one. Yeah, you're adding like a complex structure operator or something.
Yeah, so you could adding the modulator gives you B field or something like that.
No, not a complex structure, so a Keeler deformation to the because this is an A model, right? So okay.
So in this case, you have many other deformations you could add.
Yeah, exactly. So you can add you can do like the topological string. You can add all the possible vertex operators and see which directions you go in the theory space. So the operators that you can add though are only massless vertex operators.
Those would be the marginal ones.
The marginal ones. So that's not the topological action anymore. So I cannot rewrite the BRST charge adding some contribution from this new term such that.
So the BRST charge. Commutes with this, so it doesn't change the BRST charge.
All right.
Then why is the topological and the zero radius kind of?
Why do you think it's topological?
Why do you expect that string theory when it in that if you write that Lagrangian I can see it like instruction, but why do you expect that the zero radius limit the BRST?
Well, because it's supposed to be dual to a field theory.
Well, the string theory maybe is supposed to be dual to string theory for any radius.
It's supposed to be dual to a free field theory. You're not very, makes you happy with it.
String theory maybe is meant to be dual to. The boundary CFP for any.
So you're not asking on the basis of Lagrangian, you're asking just morally why should it be topological?
Yes.
So at zero Tuft coupling, the gauge invariant operators of the annuals can be expressed as just operators which don't talk to each other. So you can think of it formally as zero tension limit. So you think of these. So it's here because it's a free annual theory, these operators here don't communicate with each other.
This is not true. They're free convection.
Sorry?
This is not true. That's like three-point function for free annuals. So this is non-zero.
Well, you can compute things between different gauge invariant operators.
So what do you mean when you say it's not?
You don't have to. You don't have to normalize this gauge invariant operator. So if I have
not true, then it's simply sitting
in the
three.
Not if it's free.
It's not true. It's just the two-point function.
Look, we know how to compute the spectrum of these operators in the free case. It is just the partition function of n gauge mills operators.
But this doesn't mean that the correlators won't have infinities that have to be removed.
What correlators are you talking about? I'm just trying to write down the spectrum.
Spectrum is fine.
Well, that's all I'm saying. In computing the spectrum, these don't talk to each other. The spectrum is just if you take any of the KSV2-4 charges, it is just the sum of these charges.
That's two-point functions, then. You're only looking at two-point functions.
Isn't that, I'm just trying to write down the spectrum.
Spectrum is fine.
Okay. So it's natural to say that this could come from a topological string in the sense that in a topological string, all of the interesting properties are can be thought of as isolated points which don't talk to each other. So in that sense, it's more natural to think of this as coming from a topological string than if you have interaction between these. I mean, there are other, there are certainly other topological string theories in which the topological point in which this open closed duality, like the AJS-CRT, at the starting point, it is topological. So, so this conifold case is also different. So, I don't know if that, I can't prove to you that it's topological just without doing any computation, but I think,
what
does it mean? There is BSD trivial, Lagrangian. So, I mean, in some sense, you're trying to construct something that can be expanded around.
So would that be, suppose you set R equal to 0, you just have a topological phase?
Without this or with all of this?
Just the
topological yes. So you have to show that the cohomology of this topological string reproduces the expected closed string deformation.
Well, you also have to show that the correlation.
Yeah, that's right. So the first step is to show that you get the right spectrum.
Yes.
So you don't need to know L topological because you can add anything you exact to it anyway. Well, the action is defined up to adding to its anything you exact.
Yeah, so the coefficient here is irrelevant.
Yeah, I mean, you can just put L equals to 0 because R equals 0 and you can put L equals to 0 because R is the second term is 0 because R is 0.
Yeah, you put L to 0. I mean, if you start with 0, it's hard to do anything.
Well, you can do the fixing, you can do the action.
I mean, the idea is to start with something which has cohomology.
This is
so, it sounds reasonable to me that so there are different directions where you see that it should be a topological.
So it's not important what you put in at all. It's important what is the BRT operator, which this will generate information.
That's
right.
So the BRT operator can be written in a way that's independent of the radius. So. But if you want to compute the spectrum, you need some Lagrangian. Okay? Is that true?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like
you have to know what theory, what the Anschel equation of motion.
When you write down a theory on Calabi-Yau, I mean, the action depends on the metric, but when you write down the BRT operator, it doesn't. And that's the way that you can calculate. But then you can choose any action that you like.
Yeah, so what is special with this L-top that you're at, with the psi that this chooses?
So you could, okay, so it's PSH2 form variant.
Mm-hmm.
So you're asking, why can't you add something else BRST trivial?
Yeah, change this psi that you had down there with something else.
Yeah. You can do it, but if you want to keep the stress tensor being the same as here, maybe it doesn't matter. I mean, it doesn't matter what you start with. I have to start with something. So this, at least, I know that it has sensible equations of motion because it has the same stress tensor as before. I think you can start with anything that it allows you to compute equations of motion and correlators and things like that. There's not so much you can think of adding. So obviously, it has to have both number zero. So if you didn't allow H, then you're stuck with this. There's nothing else. There's no way to write something BRC trivial if you're not allowed to invert lambda hat. Because there's nothing of negative Wilson number you can use.
The same topological phase, when it's set to zero, the R. can you compute what's actually point function?
So you can compute the quantum that will make you happy. You can compute three point functions of BPS states. If you have BPS states, then you get the radius. That's essentially this computation here. Nothing here depends on the radius.
Oh, I see. Say that.
So that's too easy. So you have to do some non-BPS states, so something non-trivial. I don't think it's an impossible computation. So one has to understand how to do computations with this topological stream.
So do you have a simple expression for the superdetermined of the superfield line?
What do you mean by simple?
What, any expressions? If you can read.
Well, I know what E is. So E is just related to the, you know what E's are, right? So E's are just, so you write J equals G minus 1 dG. And you write this is, so this is EAM. Now I take the superdetermined. So, so there are certain gauges in which something simplified, but it's not one. I don't know.
Okay, it's not one.
But it certainly involves fermionic stuff, but it's not one in ABS ordinary space either. I mean, you know it has some X dependence because it's supposed to give you, you know, the usual.
But for the three-point functions, has this been done explicitly?
What do you mean explicitly?
Well, have a formula for the three-point function.
So you can?
For all BPS.
So is the question expanding this and cadencing that gives the right answer?
No,
they haven't. So you can?
Or the lambda. The
lambda part is trivial. That's, this part here just contracts the indices of the lambdas and lambda hats using gamma 0, 1, 2, 3, 4. That part's trivial. The part is not trivial, so you end up with an expression which is necessary to favor. AQ. Super weird binding.
How do you know that this gives the right three-point function?
So it's PS is 2-4 in grand. That's manifest. This is just the R measure for it.
Mm-hmm.
PS is 2-4. The three-point function is fixed by PS is 2-4 in grand engaging there. So,
well, it's related to
the depends how big you have it. I don't know what that statement
means. Well, this means there's no fully satisfactory mathematical proof. If you want to, you know, believe.
I don't know what mathematical proof means.
Well, this means it's possible, it's false.
You claim that the three-point half BPS state is not fixed by PS 2-4 grand?
This is what it is believed, but there's no other
proof. What would you consider a mathematical proof?
Well, a proof, I mean, an actual proof, not the, you know, take steps which are, you know, taking on faith.
Well, we have to take the tensor product of three representations. So is there no other?
I mean, 10 years ago, people did the strong coupling computation and found the same answer as the weak coupling computation. This was a surprise. This was not like it had to work. And it took several years for people to come up with very plausible arguments that this is indeed.
Was it a surprise to whom?
To everybody.
Is it a surprise also in flat background that the three-point?
Nothing. In flat background, there's no similar statement in flat background.
There is, but it doesn't get correction.
There's no dual field theory in flat background. The surprise there was that there was a strong coupling computation of three-point functions, and the answer turned out to be exactly the same as the weak coupling computation.
So Warren, you know, so I assume the argument is based on just,
so maybe Andre, no, it's just.
Based on half BPS.
Tensor product of two short representations.
increasing more, 2 foot, more left.
No, I mean the actual, okay, so the state of the art is the works of Hall and collaborators, where they classify possible environments you can have.
They were looking for normalization theorems using kind of harmonic superspace.
Yeah, they were looking for normalization. There's all basically unique answer.
So it worked for 3 point functions?
And that's it.
And it, yeah, not for 4 point functions.
But this is, based on the existence of superinvariants or non-existence for certain types of superinvariants.
This is not completely true.
I think there is an issue of whether the anomalies have been incorporated properly.
So I like show back to Rob.
Is it a tree level? It's just a tree level computation. So our only thing is a tree level computation is fixed by DS is too far in rank.
This is tree level on the string theory side, right? This should
yes.
be.
It's a supergravity.
Yeah. So that result corresponds to all loops on the Young-Mills side.
Okay.
So the point is, if it is not unique, then if you would do the one loop, you could get the correction. If it's not, if it is not fixed by the symmetries, it could get correction. So. And the claim is that it is fixed by the symmetries, and there is lots of supporting evidence.
Okay. So maybe it's not so useful to. If everybody agrees that it's fixed. So there could be some surprises, but that would be a surprise to me all. Okay, so maybe the argument is based on the boring thing.
Okay, but you didn't really compute.
No. To really compute, you have to expand out these fields, these thetas, and do the integral. Okay. There is a chance that it gets zero. So of course, saying that it's invariant, so that's a possibility.
But that will already be, let's say, non-trivial result. Have the expression, the full expression for the entire half PPS sector, including all fermions.
Yeah, so it's a new result, actually.
And knowing that integral is non-zero, would be supporting evidence for this topological, this correctly described.
I'm not sure this is, okay. This is valid, of course, for all radii, not just for the radii. No, I agree with you that the thing that needs to be checked is non-zero. Other than that, there can be nothing to do.